This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Our football picks later. Rick, you have surged to 500 on the season. Congratulations. 13-13-1. That is terrific news for you.
And I would give up making picks in a second.
At 500. But a man who has a lot of work to do to get to 500 is our resident expert out in Las Vegas, the wonderful, talented R.J. Bell. Good morning, R.J.
You know, at some point when I'm on a cold streak, you got to start having some sympathy.
I do feel badly. But before we ask for picks or do salutations or any of that stuff, let me give you and Chris congratulations. You're off the schneid. You guys were 0-8. You took the Bills plus 3 last week. They comfortably covered. Congratulations to you and Chris.
Well, listen, what would you expect? But
you
listen, really, if you think about it, what are the odds right now that we're going to be above or at 500 at the end of the year?
None.
One pick a week.
None.
No?
You're 1-8. No.
You have that little faith in Chris?
No.
It's demonstrated performance. You also took, let's not bury the lead, you also took the Jets under.
Great pick.
Yeah,
that was
interesting. Flacco, now I will, well, listen, I won't make any excuses, but I will say that it was under the assumption of Sam Darnold. But that said, if you bet early, you bet early, right? So what do you do? I mean, we thought he was going to play. Flacco looked like he was 2014.
Yeah, it was not good for you. So 2-7 for you personally, 1-8 for you and Chris. Let's get right to it, and then we'll go around the league. Chris, do you have the three games you'd like to set up for one R.J. Bell?
I sure do, Dave. I am rolling with these three games. R.J., tell me the one you like. I've got the Steelers at home laying the 7.5, the Eagles on the road laying the 3.5, and the Raiders laying 4 at home against the Broncos.
Huh. All right. Well, I certainly don't like the Eagles.
Nice.
You know, here's the thing that I went over on our show, which is if you look at the Giants relatively and say, what have you upgraded or downgraded them on the season? I'm guessing you guys would say a little bit of a downgrade, but not, you know, they're not much worse than you expected. Is that fair to say?
No, I think they're pretty much what we expected. I mean, they're in every game, RJ.
I agree. So if you look at the Eagles, would you say they're, you know, significantly less of a team than we expected?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. If you look at the preseason line on this game, we call it the summer line, that was available in June and July, it was 3.5. The line now is 3.5. So somehow, some way, even though Philly is significantly worse than we thought, Giants not near as much, line's the same. I think what we're seeing with Philly, in fact, I know it, is there's always this sense that this week we're going to see the true Philly, the team that we thought we were going to have, and maybe we will. And if anything, this week you could make the case you're going to get some guys back and, you know, potentially injury-wise, they improve significantly. But other than that, and we aren't even sure about that, I think the value's on the Giants. As you guys have said, Giants been covering. And 3.5 here, and it's kind of shifting down. In fact, this may be a best bet of mine on the Giants. I'm going to wait and talk it through.
All right, so what about the other two games?
Well, with Big Ben's status is still not certain.
I lived this movie too many times, RJ, with Ben Roethlisberger dealing with some kind of injury. Even though it's COVID, this is different. Roethlisberger always plays. Always plays.
Well,
everything
gonna,
out of Pittsburgh is that he's going to play.
COVID. I will say he is a top. I mean, as a Steelers fan, you got to appreciate his toughness, and I do. So I agree. Obviously, the COVID, but then you got to wonder about no practice and all that. And then you look
said
at the Bengals.
Same thing about said the same thing about the Titans when they played the Bills on what was that, a Tuesday?
No doubt. I mean, in general, the COVID scares have been a negative for the teams against the spread, though certainly an example you could make would be Tennessee. Though, in hindsight, when I looked at that game, you got to wonder about how the Bills, in that case, were uncertain of who they were going to play, if it was going to be Kansas City. But again, I think, would you agree, Chris, in general, COVID had a negative, or scares have had a negative effect on the teams?
I would agree with that.
All right. So, you know, Bengals have covered a lot of games recently. Here's an interesting point in the game PFF was talking about, is a lot of people are making an analogy between the Ravens and their pressure and how it just tore, you know, Burrow up, and the Steelers saying, well, they put pressure too. This is the other team that can do that. But what they were stressing was the Ravens do an interesting thing where they put pressure, and wherever the hot route is, they drop a guy a lot of the times and just make it a very confusing situation where young quarterbacks struggle with that, where Pittsburgh is more matter-of-fact and straight ahead with their pressure. You know, that makes sense to me that a young quarterback would struggle more with that. I also think that you got to wonder about the Bengals' O-line because they had five starters out before the bye, literally, and they had by far their best O-line performance. So as starters come back, is that a good thing or a bad thing? So I'm pretty confused by the game. I'm not going to play it, but I probably, especially a 7.5, would lean Bengals.
Okay. So that puts us on the Raiders-Broncos game.
Yeah, and I would say I'll go with the Raiders here and agree with you. I think that if you look at Derek Carr, he's going down the field in the last couple weeks in a way he has not in maybe his whole career. And I'm not sure if something with Gruden has clicked, but that's been something Gruden, you know, Carr being too much of a check down guy, it's been a real frustration from Gruden to Carr. It feels like that's improved. And, in fact, statistically, air yards and such, it has, and just eye test it has. I think the Broncos, everyone kind of knows that Locke has not done well except for the fourth quarter. But to some degree, that score still sticks in your mind when they come back against the Chargers, for example. So I think the Broncos probably are a little overrated. And I think the Raiders, though their defense is bad, you could make the case the Raiders have a top five offense, which sounds crazy. But statistically, it's right there. And the line's 4. Home field has not been, you know, it actually just happened after last night's game. The road teams have outscored the home teams this year by 14 points or 16 points. So, I mean, again, this late in the year, that never happens. Obviously, the lack of fans has mattered. Also, I think finally another reason to like the Raiders, let's start thinking about big wins. And if you put Kansas City and New Orleans on the list of marquee wins, I'm not sure what team does better than that. So, you know, Raiders have not only won games, but they've won big games. So I'll agree with you on Las Vegas.
RJ Bell with us here, 98.7 ESPN. RJ, you say when a game's confusing, probably stay away from it. And I'm so flummoxed by this one. Dolphins have been playing terrific. Tua looked great. They're home in the heat of Miami. Chargers find ways to lose every week, yet the Dolphins only a 1-point favorite. Walk me through this one and who you like here.
Well, one of the basic things that you guys may have heard of, the Pythagorean wins, and the concept is that in the long run, you're going to even out your close wins and losses. And again, with the Chargers, we got to chuckle at that. And thus, the margin, the point margin over the course of a season is very meaningful. So, for example, Green Bay last year had an amazing record, 13 wins ultimately, but their point differential was like not that much above even. And so the Vegas guys, the math guys would say that's really a 9-win team maybe, and they won 13. Typically, that's a valid way to approach it. And if you look at the Chargers against the Dolphins, even though the Dolphins have the better record, the net margin isn't crazy different. And in fact, this is my world premiere of this stat. I haven't heard it anywhere else. The only two teams in the NFL not to lose a game by more than a touchdown this year, Pittsburgh and the Chargers. And oh, by the way, the Chargers have 2 wins, as you guys know. So it's been crazy, the number of close losses. But this isn't the first year for it. So to me, I'm going to give you an amazing out here, my friend Dave. Tease up the Chargers. 6-point teaser gets you to 7.5. You tease through 3. You tease through 7. This is what we call an advantage teaser. But it's a team, at least so far, that never loses by margin. but they lose these close games seemingly a disproportionate amount of time. Personally, you know, with a teaser, you got to go with two teams. And what people like to do is either tease up or down through 3 and 7. So you want to look at the small spreads, 1.5, 2, to go up. So, for example, you might like the Bills plus 8.5. You might like the Seahawks plus 8. You know, that's actually an interesting one there. Yeah, why don't we do that? Why don't we go Seahawks and Chargers on a two-team teaser?
Okay.
And Seahawks would be, in that case, plus 8.
All right. Seahawks.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
It sounds delicious if I was.
That's it. They tease you, those teasers.
No, they really do.
Is it my turn to ask a question? Because I just fell asleep. I mean, we got to tighten this thing up. I mean, we
fell asleep
the entire time.
You got people pulled over in the car writing stuff down right now.
Yeah, to bet the opposite of what you just said.
Wow.
All right, here we go. I mean, since I'll just ask you, I got to pick one game because you can't. We only have
why? Why are you even?
Question.
Why are you asking?
Well, because I have to. I'm contractually.
You don't have to. Come on. Let's be honest.
All right. So you mentioned that Seahawks game. Their defense is terrible. Rams coming off a bye. I mean, is this, if you don't tease this game, would you like the Rams laying the 2?
I got to tell you, I actually have been really down on Seattle this year, and I feel like maybe that's come around. And part of it is they've lost a few games. And, you know, the line in this game is saying with a modest home field, and statistically maybe it's 0, but they're still built in about 1.5 points a game. And I'm not sure that's wrong, to be honest, just because, you know, what's occurred so far isn't necessarily the exact truth. I mean, you see a lot of variation in home field throughout. You know, last year was very small, actually. The year before, it was significantly more. Now, has the league really changed in 2 years? Other than COVID and the lack of fans, I'm not sure. The thing about Seattle also that, you know, so I think they're priced a little cheaper, you know, now after the losses. But also, they've really been trying to change their defense. Obviously, it's been bad, but given Pete Carroll and the D coordinator credit, they've been trying to swap some stuff up. And to me, my sense is when you are a Hall of Fame coach, and I think that's fair to say with Pete Carroll, at some point they're going to figure it out. And I think the Rams, and you guys have heard this, I'm sure, you know, they've beat the NFC East effectively, and that's it. So I'm not impressed. I mean, I don't know what the Rams' best win is, but it isn't that good. So strength of schedule, I think, obviously a negative for the Rams. So if I had to pick the game, it might be slight Seattle, but teaser, obviously, going through 3-7, even more attractive.
RJ, Rick brought up contractual obligations, and in the interest of being a company man, I got to bring up an ESPN vehicle, the Vikings-Bears Monday night game. And it's two teams that are going in opposite directions. The Vikings have won 2 in a row. The Bears have lost 3 in a row. The Vikings are on the road laying in 2.5. How do you see that game?
I think this is a great example of looking at the line moves. Now, we had talked about in the Giants game the idea that from the summer on it should have moved, but it hasn't. Well, let's talk about from the opener this week on Sunday and compare to the look ahead the week before. So the look ahead is a line that comes out like right now, week 11, you can bet for the look ahead. So it's next week. The only thing that happens in the interim is the one game over the weekend. And what we saw was Chicago looked really bad. Minnesota looked really good. And literally the line has flipped from Chicago being a small favorite, you know, 2 points or so, to now being a 2.5 point underdog. So to see a 4.5 point swing from, let's say, +2 to -2.5 is, or in this case, Chicago would be the other way, -2 to +2, is too much. I mean, Minnesota impressed. And what tends to happen sometimes is these teams are playing pretty well. And, you know, remember, Minnesota almost won against Seattle and maybe should have won. And they've been playing pretty well. And lo and behold, last week it hit. Everyone kind of got it. This team's not so bad. This team might be a playoff team even, considering 7 spots and all that. And Chicago went against a bad Tennessee team. And this might be, at least on defense, and this might be one of the most damning stats of the week, if not the year, is up until that Chicago game, Tennessee had the worst third down conversions defensively in the history of the NFL. They literally gave up more third downs than any team ever, conversion-wise, and Chicago went 2 out of 15. So if you're against the worst ever and you're 2 out of 15, I'm not sure how you get worse than that.
Yeah.
That said, I got to like Chicago because the line just should not swing 4 points that quickly.
RJ Bell with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So you typically make your pick of the week. Is your pick that tease, or are you just going to take a one?
No, you know what I'm going to do?
What are you going to do?
I'm thinking about this. You know, I'm actually going to double up because I got to tell you, me and Mr. Michael K is on the outs. I mean, I'm just going to say personally.
He is very displeased with you.
He's very fickle, very fickle. I mean, it was funny. At the end, I kind of said something that, you know, actually had him speechless. Is I said, you know, everyone, you know, because they were pretty hard on me. I said, this is how they react when my first year with them, I won. My second year with them, I won. And my third year, this year, I'm winning. Meaning on that show, I'm still above 500. And still it was relentless. And he kind of paused. I think he had second thoughts, but we'll see. But my pick was, I like the 49ers. Well, that line's actually drifted up to 10. I had it at 9.5. I'm going to take it at 10 with you guys.
All right, so
current
San
line
Fran
is 10, 49ers. 10.
San Fran plus 10, putting your 2-7 record on the line.
Dave, you better shape up, man. There might be a host change on Saturday at 11.
Yeah, you're not going to be with me anymore? That'd be unfortunate. All right, so one more from me. Ravens, Patriots. I don't know. I would probably avoid this at all costs. I can't. New England looks terrible. Cam is banged up now. They're getting 7 points. It's a primetime game. I can't go against Belichick. What's your take on this one?
No, I mean, I tend to agree. If I was forced to play it, I'd probably play the Ravens. But you guys, I'm sure, heard Lamar talking about, oh, the other team knows what we're doing. Well, if that's, you know, on offense, shouting out stuff, if that's the case, then Belichick's certainly, you know, if you have tendencies that clear and obvious, Belichick's not the one to be playing. You look at their ability, the Ravens, to run the ball. On first down last year, if you look at success rate, is they were the second best running the ball on first down, the Baltimore Ravens. This year, they're 21st. So just fundamentally, something's wrong. Now, obviously, they lost their left tackle. They lost their, you know, Hall of Fame guard to retirement entering the year. And they put a lot of resources in that defense, not much on the offense. I think, you know, it's starting to show. And, you know, I think it's a little too broad to say this, but you could say that the Ravens are running like an advanced version of the Wildcat. You know, you've got a runner that can throw, but, I mean, he's a runner first. And the Wildcat got exterminated for a reason. They figured it out. And it feels like the league's figured this thing out. And remember, the coming out party with Lamar, you know, really was that New England game when New England was 8-0 last year, and they just blew their socks off. But that means, one, okay, maybe the Ravens got their scheme figured out, or maybe it's Belichick with the second crack is going to do better. So to me, this is one of the most fascinating games. It does feel like the line's a little low because everyone's scared of Belichick and betting against him. And maybe this is just an example where coaching doesn't matter, because if anything, usually Belichick struggles against running quarterbacks, and this team is slower than most for the Patriots, and slowness in Lamar does not go well.
RJ Bell joins us here on the show. RJ, last one from me. I know 13 is a lot of points, but, I mean, it's going to be cold in Green Bay. Jacksonville, I mean, they're not very good. I mean, is this one of those games where you lay the big number? I mean, the Packers are one of the better front-running teams in the National Football League.
Now that's an interesting way to say. So you're saying once they get rolling in the game, they keep rolling?
They keep rolling.
But I will also say they're one of the kind of letdown teams that will lose a game you wouldn't expect like this. So maybe you've got a point. Maybe if you play, if you like Jacksonville, you play the money line and take a real crack at it.
Ooh, huh. Interesting.
Here's what I'll say about Green Bay. I can't predict. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, to me, I'm not a big fan of his. I mean, obviously, massive talent. Obviously, some of the greatest seasons in NFL history. He's just his way and my way. I just don't dig it. And, you know, I don't know. Sometimes maybe it colors my opinions. but I know certainly it doesn't help me understand his psychology. I don't understand when he's up and when he's down. I mean, it's hard to imagine they weren't up for the Tampa game. And you could say, well, they got killed. But then you think that, and I know this doesn't work, the transitive property or whatever, but if you think, okay, Tampa destroyed Green Bay, and then Green Bay beat New Orleans in New Orleans pretty easily by 8, and then obviously New Orleans just kills Tampa. So it's like, it doesn't make sense to me. It kind of makes me respect Green Bay more, though, in that, boy, the fact they went into New Orleans and did what they did, I mean, who else has done that? No one. And right now, New Orleans is probably considered the best team in the NFC. So I don't want to bet against Green Bay, but I can't figure out Aaron Rodgers.
All right, RJ. Listen, we appreciate it. I will talk to you tomorrow morning at 11. We got your games locked down. San Fran plus 10 for you solo. Raiders minus 4 is you and Canty, the collaboration. Good stuff. We'll talk to you
tomorrow. How would you say the quality of the info was today, Dave?
I thought you were very good today. Now, we'll see if it pans out. We'll see if you actually give success
to
selections. Well, you know,
they call that being results-oriented. You should be process-oriented, Dave.
No, we are a results-oriented business. We're not looking to give out losers here, RJ.
Thank you.
RJ, one last quick one for me, because you had such a good opinion. I mean, today was great. As much as I bust your chops. How do you, just in general, for people betting games, when you look at a game and then all of a sudden, like, you like, say, I'm looking at the Houston-Cleveland game. Cleveland coming off the bye. I think Houston's defense is really bad. But then I'm looking more into the game, and apparently there's going to be tons of wind. The weather's going to be bad. How much do you factor that into the decision?
Oh, well, I got to tell you, if you think back to that Cleveland-Oakland or Raiders game,
Vegas, yep. Yeah.
It was all about the wind in that game. And I actually liked the Browns in that game, figuring they could run the ball better. But again, the Raiders figured it out, and Gruden deserves the credit. I think the wind is a huge factor, but I'm not so sure who it favors, because on one hand, if that means maybe the quarterback, couple busted plays from the quarterback might be key, well, Deshaun Watson. And Watson's had a sneaky good year. If you stop and just remove those first three games, which he was fine in, but after that, he's had 13 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. And he's really, you know, obviously not turned the ball over. So I kind of was leaning towards the over in that game. But the wind is a fact. You know, if wind gets up above 15, 18 miles an hour, and I think Chris can attest to this, as much as cold, people talk about it, snow, wind, or rain, but all that stuff is very secondary to wind. Mm-hmm. If it's windy, it's hard to throw. Chris, would you agree with that?
Completely agree, RJ.
So, you know, to me, I think it hurts scoring, and it hurts a team that has to throw. That seems like it's advantage Browns, but I'm not sure.
All right, RJ, we appreciate it. I'll talk to you in the morning. Have a good one.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
All right, that, of course, is RJ Bell. Now, Mega Millions, giving you 165 million reasons to take a chance. That's a whole lot of millions. In Jersey, one mega chance could be all it takes, so take a chance on Mega Millions, because anything can happen in Jersey. And guys, this Saturday night, that's tomorrow night, 10 o'clock, top-ranked boxing on ESPN-TV, presented by DraftKings. Terrence Crawford puts his WBO welterweight title on the line against Kell Brook. That's 10 o'clock Saturday night on ESPN-TV, with undercard beginning at 7 o'clock on ESPN. SportsCenter at the Masters is on ESPN-TV all morning long, with official coverage. The official coverage of the 2020 Masters starts at 1 o'clock. Can't wait for 1 o'clock. Head to ESPN Plus now and start streaming featured groups, Amen Corner, featured holes, and so much more. To get all this coverage all weekend long, head to ESPNplus.com right now to subscribe. Let's bring them in, our college football aficionado, we'll call him, the great Paul Feinbaum. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Good morning, guys. This could be a short segment with as many games that have been postponed this week.
This is a disaster, and that's where I wanted to start with you. I mean, it feels like the juice, at least for me, is kind of being sucked out of the college football season, Paul, doesn't it?
I think it is, and I know, you know, you have coaches like Nick Saban complaining about the contact tracing and all that. In fact, Jimbo Fisher, the Texas A&M coach, told me this week he had to cancel, postpone, whatever the word is, the game with Tennessee. They only had 2 positives. But the problem isn't that. It's the fact that look out your window, look around the country. This thing is raging. The virus is raging. And we always knew college football would be the most susceptible, and it is. And, you know, for all the arguing over whether the playoffs should be backed up, I think we're going to be fortunate or lucky if we get that far.
let's just say, just to be optimistic, that they find a way to get through this. Is that the next step? That feels like the next step. If they're not going to expand the playoffs, are they going to at least push them back?
Well, for the first time yesterday, they broke that subject. The commissioner of the Big 12 said, you know, we'll think about it. And that, by the way, when you get a college football administrator to admit that they'll think about anything other than the status quo, that qualifies for breaking news. But, I mean, they have to be flexible. And right now, let me go conference by conference. In the SEC, there are 14 teams. Four games have been called off, including the number one team. And you know, what has always been one of the biggest games in the country, Alabama-LSU. Last year it was the game of the year in the sport. I mean, the whole world was there, including the president. So that game is now postponed. You have three of the top five teams in the country, including Ohio State, aren't playing this weekend. And when a Big Ten team has to miss a game, that game's gone. There's no, they have no makeup. So you start getting into some serious conversations of whether you'll have legitimate conference championships, and then that leads to, you know, can you possibly push the season back? They don't want to push the season back for this reason. The playoff games are on January 1st. It's college football's traditional biggest day of the year. You got the Rose Bowl, always 4 o'clock Eastern time. You see the sun starting to set over the San Gabriel Mountains. And the biggest issue is if you push the playoffs back and the national championship back, which is on January 11th, you're right in the middle of the NFL. And that's not something college football wants to deal with, because it's already bad enough that the college football championship game is on a Monday night and the wild card games are on Saturday and Sunday. And now you push it a week or two back, and all the air goes out of the balloon, as you said. And by the way, that there's no guarantee you ever get to it if you keep pushing it back.
Paul, I know you're not the biggest Jim Harbaugh fan, but what is Michigan going to do with him? I mean, it's one thing not to be able to beat Ohio State, but then losing to Michigan State, and then, no disrespect to Indiana, but losing to a Hoosiers team, that's not why they paid Jim Harbaugh to come to Michigan and be their head coach. So, I mean, where do they go from here as a program? What are they going to do?
What's so interesting right now is Michigan has just gone dark side of the moon. You don't hear anything from them because they don't really know what to do. And I think every week becomes more critical. Saturday night they play Nebraska. If they lose that game, then I think there's zero path Jim Harbaugh has for coming back. But nobody really wants to think about paying off coaches right now. Everyone knows the problems are, you know, the same in college athletics as they are in everywhere else. So I think they have to, you know, they're thinking about it. You know, they're talking about it. Is there a solution? I think deep down they're hoping that Harbaugh finds another job, that his agent somehow convinces some owner in the NFL to hire him. I was, you know, I mean, his name, listen, you guys hear this stuff all the time. His name's been mentioned for half a dozen NFL jobs, from Dallas to the Jets. Assuming he could get these jobs, and you know, a year ago he could have. Right now he's not exactly a hot commodity.
Paul Feinbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Let me ask you about that Clemson-Notre Dame game. Couple questions. Firstly, you think that the Clemson wins if Trevor Lawrence was the quarterback? And secondly, is there any way you can see Notre Dame not involved in the college football playoff at this point?
Yeah, I think it's debatable. Yeah, certainly they would have probably had a slightly better chance. But, I mean, they had good quarterback play. I mean, the problem really was their defense, which has been struggling for a couple of weeks. Back to the second question. These two will meet again December 19th. And assuming that Notre Dame, you know, makes it a competitive game, I think Notre Dame would probably get into the playoffs. And I know a lot of folks are saying, well, of course, Notre Dame, biggest name in the sport. That would not be the main reason they got in, but that certainly would influence these 13 people on the committee. I mean, Notre Dame is golden. And it would be, by the way, if Notre Dame got into the playoffs, do you realize we could see Clemson, Notre Dame three times? Well, we very likely would see them three times this year if they fall, you know, if they fall in the right spot. But, Notre Dame is very impressive. I give Brian Kelly kudos for resurrecting that program 4 or 5 years ago. I mean, they had a losing record, and it looked like he was about to get fired.
Paul Feinbaum joins us here on the show. Paul, how bad is it for the Big Ten that Ohio State's game against Maryland was canceled? Like, isn't this the reason why the Big Ten decided to play, was because Ohio State would end up in the college football playoff?
Yeah, and the issue becomes if Ohio State loses another game and somehow Indiana goes undefeated, they would trump them for the Big Ten championship game. As crazy as that sounds, I think you have to have a minimum, unless everyone else goes down one. I think you have to have six games. I bet they'll figure out a way and what they really ultimately need to do, and I think they'll do it, is say, you know what, let's forget these stupid divisions. Let's just take the two best teams, which is what the ACC is doing. There is no way the Big Ten is having a championship game without Ohio State.
Paul, going back to that game last weekend in Georgia, Florida, I thought quarterback play was the difference in that game. I mean, Stetson Bennett was god-awful for Georgia. And on the opposite end of the spectrum, you had Kyle Trask, who is putting together a season for the ages. I mean, could you make an argument that he's having the best season of any quarterback in college football?
Yes, you can make that argument. And this is a guy that was not a starter. By the way, this guy's never started a game in high school or in college until last year when he came in for Felipe Franks, who was injured. He's playing flawlessly. And Georgia's quarterback situation is about as bad of a quarterback situation as I have ever seen. And, you know, I don't need to keep reminding everyone that 2 years ago Justin Fields was on that team as a backup quarterback and could barely get in the game. And Kirby Smart decided that Jake Fromm, who I think he's the third string or fourth string or whatever string quarterback now for the Bills, and he'll probably never get in an NFL game. So, yeah, they just had a calamity of errors this year. The guy that was supposed to start opted out about 3 weeks before. The next guy was terrible. The guy they really thought would ultimately take over, JT Daniels, who's a transfer from Southern Cal, has still not really been cleared to play significant time. And they got a walk-on, and he looks like a walk-on, doesn't he?
Exactly. He's awful.
he really does. He is brutal. All right, Paul, listen, we appreciate a couple minutes. Hopefully there's still college football next week to discuss with you, and we will do it at this very same time next Friday at 10:30. Good stuff as always. Thanks.
Enjoy it. Thank you, guys.
All right, good stuff. That, of course, Paul Feinbaum. Now, today on ESPN Daily, guys, he's 23 years old and playing at an MVP level. Is this Kyler Murray's moment here, how Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury have led the Cardinals, something they haven't seen in a while, and that's success on ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. I went over a lot of time to get into it, which is really a shame. The Marlins have named the first female GM in professional sports. Kim Ng gets hired by the Marlins to run things down there. Rick, that is really cool.
No, that's awesome. I mean, you had Don Mattingly win
Manager of the Year.
Yeah,
and now Kim Ng is going to be the new GM of the Marlins. I mean, it's a team that's easy to root for. I'll tell you that. I wish we had more time to get into it and discuss it, but it's a great day for sports. We want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere. Click Listen Live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN at 98.7 ESPN New York. We go, of course, where you go. And at 3 o'clock, you're going to go to the Michael Kay Show, and the 20 and 20 contest continues today at 3. The Kay Show has talked to the biggest sports celebrities in the game, and all you have to do, and this is it, is recognize a very simple audio clip. Make sure you're listening for your chance at 20 great prizes over 20 days to make your home life a little more enjoyable. And this will make your home life a lot more enjoyable. The guys are giving away cold, hard cash today, $500. In fact, it's the 20 and 20 contest brought to you by PC Richard & Son, Kansas City Steak, the Bartesian Premium Cocktails on Demand, and 98.7 ESPN. All that being said, we have wound up at our football selections. Rick, dominating, 13-13-1. I am 3.5 back at 11-16, and Chris 9-18. Rick, as always, if you lead, you choose. Would you like to go first, second, or third?
I'll go third. I'll keep it the same. Here we go.
All right, Rick, we'll go third. Chris, I'll start if you're fine with that.
All right, let's do it.
All right, I wrote down the Giants, and then I crossed them out. I just can't do it. There's too much at stake. I can't be worried about the Giants needing to cover this number. So I think they do, but I'm not going to take it. I'm going to start out with the Rams. I'm going to lay the two with the Rams against Seattle. I think the Rams might all around just be the better team. I understand the quarterback is a huge advantage for Seattle, but Chris Carson continues to be out, and I just don't trust Seattle at this point. Their defense is really, really bad. I think the Rams put up a lot of points. I'll take the Rams and lay the two. I'm taking all favorites this week. My second favorite, and I'm going prime time now, Baltimore. Not sure. What do I do? New England's bad. I saw it. Their defense is really bad. I get Baltimore, and Baltimore likes the – I think they want to make a statement here, and they like to beat up on teams, and I think they will. I'll take Baltimore and lay the seven on Sunday night. And lastly, RJ gave me every reason to not, but the Bears are brutal, and Minnesota's playing much better football. I think they're going to go to the postseason. I think their run continues now. I'll take Minnesota and lay the 2.5. So Rams minus two, Baltimore minus seven, and Minnesota minus 2.5. Chris, you're up.
Well, Dave, I'm riding the state of Pennsylvania on the way to victory, and I don't need mail-in ballots to do it. I do plan on the Steelers defense delivering, and everybody's talking about whether or not Big Ben is going to be able to play in the game. I think he will, but even without Big Ben, I just like this matchup for that Steelers defense, Dave. I do. I'll lay the 7.5 points. This is a defense that leads the NFL in hits on the quarterback, sacks on the quarterback, and interceptions. Going up against a rookie in the division in Joe Burrow, they're going to send a message to them. I like the Steelers. And we've talked about it before. I like the Philadelphia Eagles laying the 3.5. They're getting healthy, Dave. They got Miles Sanders back. Alshon Jeffrey should be back. Jalen Reagor will be back. Dallas Goedert will be back. Carson Wentz will have some firepower. This is one of those games. It's too important of a game for the Eagles not to bring their A game. So I like the Eagles. And, of course, I told you I'm taking the Raiders. That's our pick with R.J. Bell.
All right. LVR minus four. Rick, you're up.
All right, here we go. I am also going to take the Ravens. I'll lay the 7. I am going to take the Tom Brady-led Bucks to bounce back. I'll lay the, is it 5.5?
5.5, yep.
I'll lay the 5.5. And then I will take, I don't care what R.J. said, I'm going to take the Green Bay Packers and I'll lay the 13.
13 against the Jacksonville Jaguars. So Baltimore minus 7, Tampa minus 5.5, and Green Bay minus 13 for you. Good luck to all of you.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.